You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, John. If you have your Bibles, of course, there's always that one nearby. Go to the book of Ephesians this morning, chapter 4. Last week when Dr. Bunch preached, he was in Ephesians 5, so if you had your little ribbon in there, probably be on the same page. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verse 30 here in just a second. I love the old songs, I love the old hymns. I grew up in a church where that's basically what we sing, and when we did get contemporary, it was more like the late 70s and early 80s and all of that, which is just fine, okay? It doesn't necessarily matter when the song was written, as long as it's biblically accurate, as long as it glorifies God, that's what matters. But when we sing nothing but the blood of Jesus, what exactly are we talking about? What can make you white as snow? What can make your sins, though they were as scarlet, they can become white as snow? What can make that happen? There is absolutely nothing outside of the blood of Jesus that can do that. He's your only hope for eternity. Okay, that's Christianity 101, but in some places we've forgotten that. Okay, I don't want Highland Baptist to ever forget that our only hope is in Jesus Christ and nobody else. Okay, if anybody goes to heaven, it's because Jesus forgave them of their sins. If anybody misses heaven, it's because Jesus did not forgive them of their sins. And Jesus is willing and able to forgive you of your sins. So this morning, if you've never met the Lord, let me encourage you that today can be the day. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we mentioned some very basic things about the Holy Spirit. We talked about how He is, in many ways, the forgotten member of the Trinity, especially in conservative Southern Baptist churches. Sometimes we leave Him to the side because maybe we're scared of Him a little bit. We're intimidated by the Holy Spirit because if the Holy Spirit's in control, that means that we're not. And it can be very intimidating, okay? Today we're going to specifically talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I've learned a little bit in the last couple of weeks is the Holy Spirit, even though He is fantastic, He's not something that's way out there that can't be understood at all. We can gain a grasp of who He is in the Bible. Okay, and at the end of this, I hope you've learned one thing. Okay, and we'll get there at the end, but I'll spoil it a little bit. How do we allow the Holy Spirit to control our church services? How do we allow Him to control our homes and our individual spiritual lives? I believe there's one way. Are y'all ready for it? Obedience. We have to do the things that God has commanded us to do. Okay, we'll get there at the end. Ephesians chapter 4, y'all say, well, just wrap it up right now. You already let the cat out of the bag. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We'll pause right there. Do not grieve. That word grieve in the Greek is the Greek word lupe. It means sorrow or grief. In John chapter 16, when Jesus was telling the disciples that I'm about to leave, the Bible says that the disciples were grieved or they were sorrowful. And this is in the discourse where Jesus says, but if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit won't come. But the disciples, that was that word lupe there again, was that they were grieved or they were sorrowful that Jesus was leaving. Another instance that we have in the Bible when we talk about this is the lupeo, to make sorrowful or to grieve, is the rich young ruler. Remember his story in the New Testament? He was a very moral person. He was talking to the Lord and says, how can I be saved? What do I need to do? And Jesus gave him two or three instances, two or three commandments. And the rich young ruler says, hey, I've kept all of these since I was a little child. And then Jesus hurt his feelings. He says, sell everything you have and then come and follow me. The Bible says that those words that the rich young ruler was grieved or he was sorrowful because he had many possessions. He wouldn't follow Jesus because he had too much stuff, and that was more important to him than the Lord was. Jesus in John chapter 21 is talking to Simon Peter, and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" He asked him three times. You remember that? And after Jesus asked it the third time, the Bible says that Peter was grieved. He went, "Lord, you know I love you." But when we come to this term of grieving the Holy Spirit, it's the same word. Okay, you remember the Bible says in Genesis 1, and I got this question on the Stump the Preacher cards, very outstanding question. All of them have been. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that God created us, it says, in our image, God speaking. Let us create man in our image. Okay? Did you know that a component of that is our emotions? The emotions that you and I feel are the emotions that God feels also. We don't think about God very often grieving, and we know the Holy Spirit is God. But if you had access to the brains and the minds and the hearts and the will of all 7 billion people on earth at all times, that would cause you some grief, would it not? Let me put it this way. Is there ever a moment in time, God, who is obviously more complex than us and beyond in many ways our capacity to understand, is there ever a point in time where he's not grieved about something? We don't think about the Lord like that very often, do we? But he knows everything that's on your heart right now. He knows everything that's on everybody's heart right now. What are the odds that all of us, out of all of us, nobody right now is grieving the Lord? I would say they're zero. At the same time, God, I believe, is able to feel triumphant and victorious and pleased and happy and all of those things too. But Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells the church at Ephesus, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And remember, we mentioned it 2 weeks ago that the Holy Spirit, and I've messed up and said this before, and you have too, and it's not necessarily your fault. Some of the Bible translations even call the Holy Spirit an it. But the true translation, the true meaning behind the Holy Spirit and his personality, the personhood, He is a he. See, I just said it. It's just natural for us to say that. He is a person in the Trinity. For if he were an it, if he was just some thing, he could not be grieved. But as a person, he can feel those emotions that you and I feel. Can this pulpit right here, can this music stand, these monitors, the chairs you're sitting in, this building, can any of these inanimate objects feel grief? Absolutely not, because they are its. But the Holy Spirit can grieve. Paul gives a command. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He gives us a command there. Now, we could play the game of, if you were God, what would you do? What would you do differently? What would you add to the Bible? What would you remove from the Bible? I have a feeling most of us, if we were honest, there's a few things in there that we would like to not be in there. Because it's not all easy. If you think the Bible's all easy, I don't think you've read all of it. There are some very difficult concepts there in the Bible and difficult things for us to change about ourselves. But we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit, God, why would he care enough to grieve when we do things? Remember what the Bible says. He loves us. Love of the Father, love of the Son is also the love of the Spirit. How about this? He brings us to Jesus. I've told you my testimony many times. For a long time, many of my teenage years from the age of 13 to 17 before I accepted the Lord as my Savior, I had a feeling of uneasiness, not every day, but fairly frequently. I had a feeling of uneasiness about my salvation. Well, on this end of it, I realized it was the Holy Spirit working on me. And when I was a senior in high school, which is getting longer and longer away, by the way, when I was a senior in high school, I felt it in October of 1998. I felt a huge pressure on my chest, and I couldn't describe it, but now I know it was the Holy Spirit's conviction on my life. And praise God for that. The Bible says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. So why is the Holy Spirit, why would He grieve over us or after us? Because He loves us, and listen to this, the Holy Spirit is invested in you. Amen. If you know Jesus, it's because of Him that you know Jesus personally, because He drew you to the Lord. You are important to the Holy Spirit. When I heard of the earthquake in Ecuador 10 days ago or so, and I believe the last count I heard about 400 people lost their life in the earthquake in Ecuador. Tragic. 7.8 on the Richter scale. That's massive. That is a huge earthquake. 400 people lost their life. And I hated that news. I felt bad about that. I understand the tragedy of it. But do you know how long that stayed on the forefront of my mind? Literally just a couple of minutes. Why is that? I don't know anybody in Ecuador. I don't know anybody tied to any of the victims. And that's not me trying to be hard-hearted. It's just human nature, is it not? But if a 7.8 earthquake hit Clovis, New Mexico, and 400 people lost their life, it would be more devastating to us, would it not? Because it's right there in our backyard, and we would know people that lost their life, or we would certainly know friends and family members of those who lost their life. So why does the Holy Spirit grieve over us? Because He's invested in you and you are close to Him. Amen. That's why it matters to Him what happens to us. Yes. He's invested in us. He's close to us. He feels with us. He shares our infirmities. The Bible says in John 14, He is the comforter. You've heard the paraclete. You've heard that term, parakletos, from the Greek. Literally means He comes alongside of you. Have you ever walked with somebody who was terminally ill? You don't physically feel their pain. You don't physically feel everything that they do, but there is something inside of you that almost your spirit bearing witness with their spirit in a way, isn't there? You feel connected there. The Holy Spirit feels that way for us because He has come alongside us. He has determined that He will never leave us or forsake us. That's God. That's why He cares so much. I had a Bible verse here. Let me make sure I'm not skipping over these things. Okay, He's a comforter. He's a parakletos or the paraclete. How about this? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He's invested in us. He comes alongside of us. Romans 8, verse 26. How about this? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So whenever you're at wit's end, whenever you have hit rock bottom and you have no idea what to voice to the Lord, the Holy Spirit knows you well enough to voice those things for you. Amen. Does it sound like this morning that you are, as a child of God, important to the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Okay? Why do I coach soccer? Is it because I love the game of soccer? Is it because I'm the most knowledgeable person in the United States of America about the game of soccer? Of course not. Okay? I think we had a soccer team in high school, but I didn't know where they were. I never saw any of them, I don't think. I know very little about the game of soccer. But why do I coach soccer? Because my daughter plays soccer, and I love her. So anything that my kids, my wife, my friends, anything that they're involved in, I want to be involved in those things too because they're important to me. That's you and the Holy Spirit. That's a relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit. He voices those prayers for you. So when, late at night, the things that you tell God that you don't tell anybody else, those groanings deep inside, guess who knows those things? The Holy Spirit. You know what? I mentioned this just yesterday in a conversation. Many times I'm a nice person. I think I am an introvert because I think one of the definitions of an introvert is that after you've been in a big group of people, it takes some time for you to kind of wind down and get your mind right. In other words, people can be exhausting if you're introverted, okay? It has nothing to do with the other people. It's just the way you are. I think I sort of lean that direction a little bit. But there have been times in my life where I've been stuck in a vehicle or in a building next to somebody that I didn't know very well, and I had already had in my mind preconceived notions of what that person was like. You know what's blown my mind almost every time? I have a lot more in common with that person than I realized. I had been with them. I had talked to them. I found out where they were from, what they liked to do, what they didn't like to do. And I started to have more of sympathy towards them. I even, believe it or not, started to like them a little bit when I thought there was no way in the world I would ever like this person over here. Why is that? Because I got to know them. Why does the Holy Spirit care? Because He knows the things that you've never even voiced out loud about you. He's pretty important in your life, is He not? So why does He care? Why does He grieve? Because we're important to Him. I'm in this stage where my own children are young, and they make mistakes and all that, but the mistakes they make now on a grand scale are small. I've heard our preacher back home, Brother Tommy, he always said that when kids are little, they step on your toes. When they get bigger, they step on your heart. If my kids get hurt, if my kids get injured, it matters to me. If my kids grow up, and many of you have experienced this or are experiencing this right now, your kids and your grandkids may be at the point of life where they're making poor decisions. And there's very little you can do to intervene. But you know, you may put on a smiley face and all of those things, but deep inside, you're grieving over the decisions that your kids are living. The Holy Spirit, when He sees Christians living a life that they shouldn't be living, I believe the Holy Spirit grieves just like a parent does when their children are living a life that they shouldn't be living. He cares very deeply for us. Now, lastly, is this. We understand that the Holy Spirit cares for us very deeply. In fact, and I skipped over a few things, but another thing is the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 that He lives inside of us. What, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So He literally knows us inside and out. But lastly, and the question I want to ask you this morning is this. Be very honest with yourself. Paul says to the Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So the question I want to ask is this. Who can grieve the Holy Spirit? Short answer is this. You can. I can. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, which none of us would volunteer to do or want to do. Not one of us will want to grieve the Holy Spirit to save our life. You say, Kevin, please show us how to not grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what's better than me showing you? We can use it right out of Ephesians chapter 4. Read this whole thing in context. Paul gives us examples of how we grieve the Holy Spirit. So when we read this, remember, Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago, inspired by who? The Holy Spirit. Be honest with yourself and ask yourself the question this morning, am I currently grieving the Holy Spirit? Don't give yourself a pass. We do that too often. Don't be so quick to point at somebody else and say, I see this in their life and they are grieving the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. Are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Do you want to see God do amazing works at Highland Baptist in Clovis, New Mexico? Of course. Then what do we have to do to change things? We have to be obedient, and we cannot grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul didn't command them. He didn't say, try not to grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, do not, imperative, grieve the Holy Spirit. Here's the list. You ready for this? Be honest with yourselves. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let's pause there. How can you grieve the Holy Spirit? By being a liar. Speaking falsely. Speak truth with one another. Verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. How can you grieve the Holy Spirit? With your unrepentant anger. The Bible says in a couple places that be angry and sin not. But if it's become a part of your lifestyle, if it's become who you are, you're sinning. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit with your unrepentant anger. Verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. In other words, don't steal. Grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So don't have any corrupting speech in your life, or you will grieve the Holy Spirit. It's good advice. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen more than you talk. Corrupting talk, you can put a lot of things underneath that label. If you want me to illuminate, I will later. But you will grieve the Spirit if you do that. Then, of course, verse 30 again, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's good news as a side note. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Can you lose your salvation? No, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's not up to your ability. It's up to God's faithfulness. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. The bitterness, the wrath, and the anger and the slander, the things that are in you, and the malice, those things will grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. What else grieves the Holy Spirit? When we're just mean, or when we're unforgiving. That'll grieve the Holy Spirit. Can't do those things. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll skip down a little bit. Verse 3, still in the same context here of Ephesians 4:30, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. What else grieves the Holy Spirit? Sexual immorality. Idolatry. All of those things grieve the Holy Spirit. So whenever we as Christians, we see things and we're like, man, we really want God to work somewhere. We want God to work in America. We want God to work in our church. And we always, almost always, not everybody does this, but almost always, we give the reason that God isn't working, it's because of what they're doing over there. Very rarely are we honest enough to say, well, it's me. Is this list saying you have no hope? No way. We're talking about grieving the Holy Spirit, though. I believe if you're honest with yourself this morning on this list that I read, and this isn't the only one, these aren't the only things, it's not an exhaustive list that can grieve the Holy Spirit, but I would dare say every one of you got hit this morning, myself included. Every one of us should get hit with this and say, okay, why don't we see God working in the manner in which He is capable? It's because we are guilty of the things on this list. Now, our sins are forgiven. I believe that 100% for those that have accepted Jesus as Lord. And I don't think, again, that you can lose your salvation once He's forgiven you. But are these things in Ephesians 4 in the beginning of chapter 5, are these currently part of our life? You don't have to confess to me, but if you say yes, then you are actively grieving the Holy Spirit. That's not a lot of fun for me to say. But it has absolutely zero to do with programs or personalities when we say, well, this isn't happening because such and such. The reason the Holy Spirit isn't doing the things of which He is capable is because of us. God's not less powerful today than He was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, a man died on the cross and rose again and walked around, dead man walking, because he was fully dead, brought back fully to life, appeared in front of 500 people at once, was on the road to Emmaus and talked to those guys, and did all kinds of incredible things. And then in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles, they were speaking, and everybody heard them in their own native tongue. Why? Because God is powerful. He hasn't gotten old and feeble in the last 2,000 years. But so many ways we feel like, well, the answer to all of our problems is X, Y, and Z. No, the problem is always us. So be honest. Are you, not intentionally, but are you currently, actively grieving the Holy Spirit? Let me read you something out of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. The Bible says this, "And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." You want a life that's dominated and illuminated and saturated by the Holy Spirit? What do you do on your end? You stay obedient. The Holy Spirit isn't out there and can't be understood. God wants, what the Holy Spirit wants, is obedience. You say, well, I give all my money, or I give all of my time, and those are good things. I don't disregard those things. But the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Do you want the Holy Spirit to do something in your life? Get in here, what does it say, and do what this says. That's it. That's simple. We've made Christianity such a difficult concept in many ways when it's not. Jesus is God. Jesus died on the cross. You can be forgiven by His blood. You can have hope for eternity because of His resurrection. And all He asks in return is to be the Lord of your life. In other words, He wants to be the boss of your life. And what He says goes. If you have a job and you disregard the boss too many times, guess what? You no longer have a job. Now, thankfully, the Lord doesn't dismiss us and kick us to the curb, because He knows us very well. But you say, well, Kevin, I would never want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Then get away from these things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of them. Abandon those things. And if you don't care, and you say, well, I'd rather hold on to my slander, I'd rather hold on to my bitterness, then I pray that God does a mighty work in your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You today for Your word. I want to thank You for Paul and his letter to the Ephesians. Paul was bold. Paul spoke the truth, inspired by the Holy Spirit. God, and I pray that right now, as You've been kicking me around a little bit the last few days, that any of these things on this list and anything else mentioned in the Bible that is a sin, Lord, if we've been disobedient to God, Lord, I pray that we would this morning ask for forgiveness as individuals. A church is literally made up of individuals. And we need the individuals' hearts to be in the right place. God, I certainly don't want to be guilty of grieving the Holy Spirit. Lord, right now I pray that each one of us would be honest with ourselves and honest with you, because we're certainly not going to pull a fast one on you. You know everything. But if there's any of these things that are part of our life and has infiltrated our life, I pray that we can get away from these things by the power and the strength of God. I believe if we leave these things at your feet and we trust you in these things, you will certainly help us get rid of these things. But if we want to see God do incredible things at Highland Baptist Church, first, we have to be obedient.
Yes, amen.
We have to give our will, our life. We have to give all of that over to you and say, God, you are in charge. Come what may, you're in charge. God, and I know that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and brings us to repentance and all of those things. Lord, and I know that probably today almost everybody in here has given their life to the Lord and has accepted Jesus as Savior and all of those things. I understand that. God, there's no doubt, though, that many of us need to hit the altar this morning full speed, because we have been grieving the Holy Spirit out of our disobedience. It does no good to sweep these things under the rug, but instead it does good when we're honest with ourselves and with God, when we see these things become habitual in our life. When our life is marked by these things that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 4. Lord, and if we're too busy, if we're thinking about other things already, what we're going to do the rest of the day, God, I pray the Holy Spirit convicts us heavily. Lord, I physically felt it on my chest as a 17-year-old kid, almost 20 years ago now. Lord, forgive us where we fail you. And thank you for sealing us so it's not on our own ability.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening. For more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.